Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NHRA roars with event number 2 in Arizona. Florida Short Tracks hosted some good racing when Mother Nature let them be. Carnage prevailed over the weekend in Daytona, including yesterday's 500. We've got Speed Weeks covered for you. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, February the 27th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. He's giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag until the top of the hour. This is the fastest half hour in racing. And a big hello to everyone joining us on Racers Reunion Radio. You can hear us on SpeedwayReport.com and RacersReunion.com. We've got players on both sites. We're also streaming on Facebook Live. Hello. And on the Racers Reunion site, you can head on over to the Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, or RacersReunion.com, and you can watch our TV broadcast. And if you are on Facebook, if you're on our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, we'd appreciate it kindly very much. Give us a little like. We like everybody that likes our page. This way we can bench race 7 days a week, not just on Mondays. And even better, our broadcasts are archived on SpeedwayReport.com. Just go up to the top ribbon, click the TV button, and you can watch our past shows anytime. And just to round out social media, you can tweet me directly. My handle is at SpeedwayPat. Want to say hello to everyone using the new Racers Reunion website. We've got a few folks in the chat room tonight. Danny Whitener is over there. Barb is with us. Thomas Warren is signed in. Bill Pratt for racing and rocking at the top of the hour. So a few guys getting a little bench racing on going in the chat room. You want to join us, head to racersreunion.com, sign in, join the chat room for Monday night bench racing. Let's take a look at the Speedway Report. Victory Lane Lap is one of the biggest auto racing weekends of the year took place. Let's begin with the highlight. The superstars of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Yes, I have been practicing that. And if you haven't heard, just as an aside, a lot of the broadcasters have needed to practice that over the past couple of weeks as the season got started down in Daytona. The proper words, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, that does not quickly roll off the tongue. I'm sure it will in time, but we used to NASCAR Winston Cup or Sprint Cup next to what have you. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup cars raced last Thursday in the duels for the Daytona 500. Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin won both of those last Thursday night. Yesterday's Daytona 500 won by Kurt Busch. The Xfinity cars raced on Saturday in 300 miles. Ryan Reed won that. And Kaz Grallo was victorious Friday night at the Daytona Truck Race, their 250-mile event there. We'll talk a lot about the bent sheet metal and carnage that we saw down at the Super Speedway. As we said, the NHRA ran their second meet of the season with the Arizona Nationals in the southwest corner. In top fuel, Leah Pritchett won her class. In funny car was Matt Hagen. Both of those drivers duplicated their feats from Pomona a few weeks earlier, winning the season opening Winter Nationals, Leah Pritchett and Matt Hagen. Go to Arizona. The winners, Leah Pritchett and Matt Hagen. In addition, Pro Stocks were also in action. Greg Anderson took the win there. Let's head down to Florida and some dirt track racing. The World of Outlaw Late Models ran at Volusia Speedway Park in Barberville, Florida. On Thursday night, they were rained out, but they did get the show in on Friday. Barely. Shane Clanton won in a feature that was fog shortened. Scheduled for 40 laps, they only made it to lap 23 before they had to throw the checkered. Fans were disappointed, as well as the track, but as the winner said, we could not even see out there. So unfortunately, that's somehow sometimes the way things go. Saturday night, Don O'Neill won the main event, the A-Main, but Clanton was the week-long World of Outlaw champion. USAC Sprints raced in Bubba Raceway Park in Ocala, Florida. Thursday night, they were rained out as well. Friday's win went to Justin Grant, and on Saturday night, Hunter Schoenberg won the A-Main. The new Smyrna Speedway got in some more racing than they did. Last Monday, the modified feature was won by J.R. Bertuccio, super late models by Harrison Burton. On Tuesday night, the pavement modified race was won by Tyler Ripkema. Big upset there. I was like, I actually had to look up who he is, but great, great underdog story. You love when guys you don't expect win out in the main event there. The super late model race, Burton was given the victory again, but that was after Ty Majeski and Steve Nassi were disqualified for technical violation. Wednesday night, the action was rained out at New Smyrna. On Thursday night, Ryan Preece won the John Blewett III Memorial Race, and the super late model feature was won by Majeski. Yes, he passed Tech that night. Friday night, finale for the modifieds, the running of the Richie Evans Memorial 100. Big paycheck for the week. Who does it go to? None other than big money, Matt Hirschman. He wins the 100 lapper, but Preece is the modified World Series champion for the week. And on Saturday night, the super late models had their 100 lap finale where Jeff Choquette took the checkered flag. Volusia Speedway Park ran all week. Last Monday night, the late model feature was won by Chris Madden. The big modified Gator race and $5,000 went to Nick Hoffman. He won a majority, if not all, of the modified features over the last weekend. Tuesday's late model race was won by Brandon Shepard. Wednesday and Thursday were rained out. Earlier, I just talked about the World of Outlaw late models. They finished out the weekend there, but the Big Block Modifieds from Upper New York joined them on Friday. That feature was won by Justin Hares, and Saturday night's 50-lap, $5,000 to win race was won by Brett Hearn, who also took the week-long championship. Week-long really wound up being only 2 days for those guys. Unfortunately, they towed down from New York and New Jersey, the Northeast, Wednesday and Thursday. Two of their four nights were rained out, so they got to race twice down in Florida. That's a long haul, but glad they went up there or came down so much. Dirt modified is usually a pretty healthy field down at Volusia Speedway Park. And going back to New Smyrna, I was really happy with the pavement modified car count there. I believe I saw a high of 23 cars signed in, which is the strongest we've had in years down there for pavement mods. And that's even back in the days when they combined the SKs and the tour type mods into the same feature and then had a divisional class winner each time. These were just strictly tour mods. That was great to see over 20 cars down there. But no SKs, no SK division as well. That's okay. Tour mods, way to go. Good, healthy field. I'm happy for that. Let's talk about Daytona. Huh? Daytona? Yeah, big race over the weekend. Big three races that we went down there for myself. Headed down Friday morning, so I was there for Friday night's truck action at the track Saturday for the Xfinity Series race, as well as Sunday's Cup race, the Daytona 500. Carnage. Destruction. Over and over and over again. Let's talk about this for a little bit here. We, in the media center, kind of kicked around some ideas of what kind of dollar figures were we looking for here for what this all cost. Well, you're coming up with, you know, say roughly $100,000 to $125,000 per vehicle if it's a total, you know, total build for the cost to build these trucks and these cars. Some of them were a total write-off. Some of them just needed damage. But we figured, just as a really rough estimate off the cuff, between Friday and Saturday, the truck race and the Xfinity Series race, we were looking at around $4 to $5 million worth of damage between those two races. Looking at Sunday's 500, we never figured that into the dollar account. I haven't done the math yet, but 35 of the 40 cars were involved in some kind of crash yesterday in the 500. Only five, that's right, five vehicles finished that race without being credited with being in a crash. 35 were damaged. On Friday night, young Chase Briscoe started it all. Briscoe, an ARCA Series champion, which is kind of puzzling, because if you're going to win an ARCA Series championship, you certainly know what you are doing on super speedways. He is in a ride for Brad Keselowski in the Truck Series, and this first pileup on lap two of the Truck Series set the tone for the weekend. Briscoe bump draft the truck in front of him, sent him into the wall. Briscoe got through just fine, but the pileup came about afterwards after he skated through, and we're off we went. That was really a bump drafting incident, or a drafting incident gone awry. Wasn't equivalent to a short track incident. Guys stick their nose in, fenders rub, we bump. Sometimes a guy gets moved out of the way. Sometimes a guy gets spun out. This wasn't it. This was a lot of bump drafting. Different types of drafting. It just went wrong, and a pileup happened. This started the sequence on Friday night. It followed that pattern throughout the entire Truck Series race, including that spectacular last lap crash. You saw Matt Crafton leading the race. Trucks came across, clipped him, turned him backwards, got him up in the air, upside down, got him flipping down the super stretch at Daytona. Fortunately, he was okay. No injury to him, but definitely got up in the air, turned around backwards. We've seen that so many times. What's going to happen for that? Well, next week, I'll give NASCAR credit where credit is due. They already have some wind tunnel time scheduled to get a speedway truck like that into the wind tunnel, put it through its paces to see what they can do to help keep those trucks on the ground. Aero situation, Crafton got turned around so violently it snapped, and it was the final pileup of the night before they took the checkered flag. Kaz Grala, your winner there. If you watch the truck race on Friday night, that last crash, which there was not a whole lot of the field left, took out just about everybody that's running. And I think only five or six trucks came across the finish line when the checkered flag was waving. Now, a lot of the trucks on the backstretch got restarted and came around to complete the final lap, so they were scored. So I think if you look at a box score, we had about 17 trucks that were credited with finishing the race and on the lead lap. But the actual sequence, when the checkered flag flew, there was only about a half a dozen trucks running at the finish of that race before the rest of the field limped across. I don't know if there were any trucks in that race that were not involved in an accident or crashed somewhere down the point. Didn't have the numbers for that. I wasn't expecting this. No one was expecting this over the weekend. Disaster on Friday night, just carnage, destruction everywhere. Everything's beat up. Congratulations to Kaz Grala. By the way, a former guest right here on this show. We go to Saturday. These guys, they didn't pay attention from Friday night. They wrecked just as much, if not more. They had an extra 50 miles to get it done, and they did. As someone shouted out to me on social media, there is a lot of pay to play in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Guys that may or may not have the credentials or belong on a super speedway certainly have the checks to write to get some rides. That problem manifested itself during Saturday's Xfinity Series race. Lots of crashes, lots of torn up cars. What I noticed in the lineup when I was looking at the starting lineup was a definite lack of Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series drivers. There were a few sprinkled about it, but it wasn't really heavy with some superstars, which we often see. I looked at that and thought, good, I like that. I would rather see personally stars each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. I don't want to see any duplicate names. I want to see their own special division, special names. Let's cultivate everybody we have in each division. Unfortunately, the downside to that, bingo, getting just what we had on Saturday. A ton of inexperience, young guys, not bad race car drivers. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they're unqualified bad race car drivers. Definitely inexperienced at drafting, restrictor plate racing, Daytona, and super speedway racing, which brings up about the puzzling aspect of Chase Briscoe the night before. I don't get that, an ARCA champion. But we had this on Saturday as well. A lot of good drivers, good names, race winners, champions, constantly caught up in destroying machines. A lot of it, I don't know if it was spotter-related, vision-related, or just plain old inexperience-related, as you saw a pileup or a wreck begin to form, and guys would come in, I don't know how many seconds later, a long time after this thing started, and they're still hard on the gas. It's like they didn't let off, not even slam on the brakes, which is a dangerous situation. They were hard on the gas, and they were still wrecking. We used to see that in ARCA racing years ago, when we were critical of them on the super speedways, is a crash would happen. You could count the seconds. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. It got to be comical and a joke as to how late we'd go up, double-digit counts of seconds. Drivers still hard on the gas into these accidents. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, what we saw on Saturday in the Xfinity Series race, but not by much. There was a lot of that happening, and you just have to chalk it up to inexperience. Granted, I can be critical. I'm a radio show host. I've never raced on a super speedway like that, but if you're going to be out there, hey, you are out there, and then you should be aware of what you're doing. You got to learn somehow. You're going to make mistakes. So it was a plus side and a downside. Plus, hey, Cup guys aren't dominating. They're not all through the field, all new names, or most of it anyway. But it showed up with the crash and very few cars finishing that race. So after Friday's disaster and carnage and Saturday's disaster and carnage, discussion says, what kind of Daytona 500 are we going to see? Consensus was, with everybody that I talked to, is we'll see a good 500. We will not see duplicates of Friday and Saturday. On Sunday, those guys on Sunday, the Cup drivers, Sunday money drivers, they know what they're doing. They're the cream of the crop. They got this. They saw what happened Friday night. They saw what happened Saturday night. They know. They're aware of this. We should see a good 500. Could I be any more wrong? No, I don't think we could. Like I said, final count with 25 laps to go, and I continued through lap 200, I believe 35 of the 40 starters were involved in some kind of crash. Now, a lot of people want to jump to blaming the segments, these brand new segments, which we want to talk about here in a moment. The segments were not the cause of these crashes. We want to have the first race with the segments, so we want to jump on the restrictor plate segment excuse or guilt or a play blame somehow. Those darn segments. No. I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear that. I've heard it. I disagree 100%. I don't think segments had anything to do with these wrecks that we had on Sunday. This was just a case of restrictor plate racing, the tight pack, and guys mistiming, making mistakes, problems too close. I don't know what have you, but I can't lay my finger on that one thing which you can on Friday and Saturday with a little bit of inexperience. But it was puzzling Sunday with the talent level that's out there for things to happen. We had not one big, the old expression, let's avoid the big one. There was not the big one in the 500. There were three big ones in the 500. The first one, Kyle Busch's tire went down, snapped him sideways, so there was a big pileup after that. Jamie McMurray, brother, I love you, but come on, dude, what were you thinking? What were you doing? I noticed this Thursday with him, very fast car, and McMurray is a very, very good restrictor plate racer. He's won at Daytona in the 500, in the summer 400, run well at Talladega. He had a very fast piece, finished second in his Thursday duel, was very aggressive, sticking that nose under cars, in back of cars, around them, and he just shoved the traffic four wide on Sunday in the 500 and pushed the issue. You can't really roll into turn three in the Daytona 500 four wide and expect to get away with it, and he didn't. He caused that. So you've got some drafting issues, bump drafting issues. These guys just did not go bad, or just did not go well on Sunday for him. Jamie Mack, love you, but blame's on you on that one, my friend. Sorry about that. The 5-minute clock. to me, are we over-policing the sport? I'm kind of on a fence on this one. I think, yeah. I think, the, you know, 5 minute clock, I don't real feel real strongly for and against. I'm a purist. I like the fundamentals of racing. So there's a lot of things that NASCAR has done lately, excuse me, that I don't really care for. I cannot beat up the chase in the playoffs any more than I already have because I think they take away from the sport, certainly don't add to it. The segments, I'm going to get to those in a moment too. I'm going to come back to those. They weren't the cause of the crashes, but I'm going to get back to those in a practical sense. The 5 minute clock, you're just getting to a point where you're policing the sport too much. I understand the point of it. Cars going to the garage, you're retired. There was an old rule in the Indy 500 years ago where if a car went behind the wall, it wasn't coming back out into the race. You wouldn't, if that was true for all these years, I mean, let's go back to Indianapolis. They've done away with that rule, so you can go to the garage and come back out. But if you can fix a car on pit road, you can send it back on the track. What NASCAR has had a problem with so many years is cars going out and about after crash damage, not being fully repaired and spewing debris all over the track. I agree. Let's stop that right away. Don't know if there's a good enough way to do that. What you're doing really is preventing the guys from battling for 25th and 30th back and forth like that with beat up race cars. However, you wouldn't have the great story of Dale Earnhardt replacing a camshaft at Dover in 1990. Remember that? Benny Parsons winning his championship in 72 by rebuilding the roll cage on the car. You've got these great stories, and they never would have happened with a five-minute clock. So I think we're getting over-policing in the sport. Do I believe it's ruining the race? No, you had a lot of beat-up junk that would have come back out of the Daytona garage. It didn't matter. I know Dale Jr. has so many fans out there, and that car was torn all to pieces. He wasn't going to make a five-minute clock. He wasn't going to make a 30-minute clock to get that car right back to minimum speed again. So that's what you're really eliminating, which to me is not a really big deal. But there are cases. Jimmy Johnson won his championship several years ago at Texas with a few races to go. Remember, he spun off in the second corner or second lap of the race in the fall, pounded the inside fence. He was behind the wall for over an hour. But they rebuilt the nose of that car, and he went out and won a championship. You have those stories that cannot be told anymore because of the five-minute clock. We're getting into over-policing of the sport. A couple of tidbits from Daytona. Kurt Busch's mirror, the winner, fell off the car. Didn't know if you he couldn't see behind him. He had no rearview mirror, and he still won the Daytona 500. You talk about a spotter earning their money. If you get a chance to check out Kurt Busch's car in the Daytona Museum, please do. Thing is beat to snot, and it was a wrecked car, and it's easily the most beat up car that has ever gone on to win the Daytona 500 and go in that museum. I say that because David Pearson's car was beat up a lot worse in 1976. It just didn't have a museum back then. But for all the cars that have been posted there or displayed there in the past 20 years, it is easily the most beat up car there. Got to get out of here shortly. I want to relay a quick story to you, then I'll leave shortly. Sunday morning of the Daytona 500, I had a chance, the whole media center had a chance to meet the Thunderbird pilots that did the flyover before the Daytona 500. Somebody had the wherewithal to ask them, and I've wondered this for years, but I did not think to ask them, is how do they do the time this with the land of the free, home of the brave, and they fly over the speedway? They gave us that answer, is that the pilots, they have six pilots that did that formation before the 500. They have a pilot stationed with a radio on the roof of the Daytona Speedway that's connected to Jordan Sparks, who sang the national anthem. And she has rehearsed with the pilots before, and they have sections of the song that are timed, each verse, and she can speed up or slow down depending on the crowd reaction. That is connected to the pilots through a radio, so they can accelerate or decel their speed as they're flying over the speedway. Never knew that. Thought that was one of the most fascinating non-racing stories that I've ever heard come out of the 500. Everybody in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. Our Speedway Report replays are posted on the site. I've got a Daytona 500 recap, and I've got a great story on Corey LaJoie. Corey said he would wreck his own mother to make the Daytona 500. Well, I asked his mom about that. What did she say? You can find out. Go to SpeedwayReport.com. Also, what did Jimmy Johnson do for him to help out his career? Again, SpeedwayReport.com has all the answers. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder and ZRN Studios for putting us on the air tonight. Big thanks for Racers Reunion and our fans for tuning in. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming up right up at the top of the hour with Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. Follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from NASCAR, short track racing, and racing's hot topics. Thank you all for joining us on Facebook Live, Racers Reunion Radio, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.
Fives and drag, F1 and Indy and everything.